Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Marjorie Papst, host of Caregiver and Physician Conversations, sponsored by eCareDiary.com. I am the co-author of Enrich Your Caregiving Journey and the author of a newly released book, Words of Care, found on Amazon.com. The purpose of Caregiver and Physician Conversations is to provide practical information for caregivers, particularly on how you can have meaningful connections with doctors and the medical community. Today is certainly no exception as we tackle the issues related to the Affordable Care Act. Our topic today, caregivers and healthcare reform, what you need to know. I'm pleased to welcome our guest, John Mills, the co-founder of eCareDiary.com. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Marjorie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you're doing on eCareDiary.com, but also the other work that you do at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center.
Sure, I'd be happy to, Marjorie. Well, as you mentioned, I'm the co-founder of eCareDiary.com, and we founded that out of my experience caring for my father, who suffered from Parkinson's disease, and just the experience that we had as family caregivers in trying to help people not go through what we went through in terms of lack of information and tools and other issues that you face as a caregiver. But in addition to the work in eCareDiary.com, I also work for the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center Health Plan. And in that role, I'm actually in charge of implementing their healthcare reform efforts. And I have a background actually in healthcare reform. In my prior life, I worked on Capitol Hill for about 8.5 years and was involved in the Clinton healthcare reform efforts. So I've got a lot of experience in this over the years and have seen the differences between what the Clintons proposed back in the mid-90s and what ended up passing in 2010 under the current administration.
Well, you are the perfect person then to have on this show today. And, you know, John, it seems like all of us come to this caregiving concern from a personal connection, and you're no exception to that. Let's start with your overall assessment. I mean, particularly you've had such a long period of time where you've seen all the different iterations of healthcare laws. Give us your overall assessment of the Affordable Care Act and what it means for caregivers.
Well, I think that overall the Affordable Care Act has a lot of good things in it for caregivers. You know, one of the key things it does is it expands and increases the insurance options available to people. You know, currently today in most states, if you're an individual purchaser of insurance and even many small businesses, you are subject to two things which can make it either almost impossible to purchase insurance or very expensive to purchase insurance. And those are pre-existing conditions and medical underwriting. And basically, a pre-existing condition is any serious medical condition you may have had, even though it may or may not still be an issue today. So, for example, you can have cancer, 20 years ago. It would be considered a pre-existing condition. Under the current laws in many states, that makes it either very hard for you or almost impossible for you to get insurance. Again, medical underwriting is another thing that makes it very hard for people to get insurance if they have any kind of health issue, because what happens is the insurers will increase your rates because you may have high cholesterol or you may have diabetes or these types of things. And so the Affordable Care Act really addresses a lot of these issues through a couple of things. One, it eliminates pre-existing conditions. You can no longer be denied coverage because you have some sort of condition or may have had a condition 20 years ago. Also, insurers will no longer be able to medically underwrite you. This is known as community rating. So your health status will not prevent you from getting insurance or getting affordable insurance. The other thing is that the law, and I know we're going to talk about this a little bit in more detail as the show goes on, but the law actually has subsidies to help people who are at the lower ends of the income scale afford insurance. Because even with the fact that it'll now be available and you cannot be denied insurance, it can be expensive. So I think for all those reasons, this law is going to offer a lot of benefits to caregivers.
That's great. And, you know, I should have said this at the top of the show for our listeners. You know, when you hear lots of benefits and lots of options, that says to me that caregivers really will be in the position. The good news is there are lots of options and more benefits. I suppose some downside to that is the caregivers are really going to have to arm themselves with all of the options, the information on all the options. And so I should have said you all get a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, because I think this program today, you may want to take some notes on what John has to say about some of the details. So I'm assuming that what I just said is right, John. Is that correct? That with options comes a lot more need for knowing all the information.
Yes. I mean, you know, options and choice are, you know, they're a good thing, but they also do require you to be a better educated consumer. So it'll be important that you have is armed with as much information as possible. I will say this, that the system that they're going to make available for people to purchase insurance will provide a lot of this information to people and will simplify a lot of what we get today from insurers. So, and we can talk a little bit more about that, but yes, it's going to be very important that you understand your needs and that you ask the right questions when you're looking for insurance policies.
Terrific. And toward the end of the show, we're going to give all of you out there a list of some of the questions, key questions, that should be on the top of every caregiver's list. For seeking out information and for understanding your needs. So, John, when do these insurance provisions that you're talking about, when do they take effect for the Affordable Care Act?
Well, the all the provisions around insurance reforms basically go into effect in January 1 of 2014. However, what's going to start happening, and people will start to see it, I would say, within the next few months, is there will be a big education campaign that will be done both by the federal government to let people know about these options, as well as by health insurers who want to get information out and let people know that they will have options to them. So I expect you'll start to see information ads about health insurance reform and health insurance exchanges starting in June and July. So I'm sure you see on TV when we get to Medicare open enrollment period, those information ads, in Medicare open enrollment period, and, you know, these are your options, and here's where to call if you have questions. You'll start to see that in the next few months start coming out. Go ahead, Marjorie.
Well, I was going to say, so it sounds like the Affordable Care Act for everyone under 65 who isn't on Medicare, that basically the format of the Affordable Care Act will mirror much of that we see in Medicare in terms of open enrollment and here's what you need to know and that kind of thing.
Absolutely. I think that's a great example. And some of that is because you're dealing with the government that has run Medicare for years, and they are familiar with this process. And that is exactly what they're doing. They're mirroring what works for them in Medicare. And so what will happen starting in October of 2013 is you will have an open enrollment period that for the first year will actually run for 6 months. It will run from October to the end of March. In and starting in subsequent years, it will only run from October through December. But because this is the first year, they want to make it open to everybody. And during this open enrollment period, you'll be able to go to what's called a health insurance exchange. The health insurance exchange is really nothing but an online marketplace where people can do comparison shopping and purchase insurance. So sort of the best example may well be either Amazon or some of the websites where you purchase plane tickets, Expedia. And people are able to go in there, do some comparison shopping. There'll be phone numbers they can call if they have questions, and they'll be able to purchase insurance online. But not everybody's online, and so there will be phone numbers that people can call, and there will also be people called navigators. Navigators are people, impartial people, who will be hired by the government to help you enroll in a health insurance plan, and they will be available throughout the country. They'll be in offices that you'll be able to go into. One of the things we've heard about, they're likely to be in Social Security office, Social Security and Medicare offices, and people will be able to go in there, talk with the navigators, and make their choices that way. And so that's sort of the next step. And then basically your coverage will become effective January 1st if you enroll before the end of December, and then after that, for January, February, and March, it'll be the first day of the next month. So if you enroll in January, your coverage will become effective February 1st. If you enroll in February, your coverage will become effective March 1st. And then you enroll in March, your coverage will become effective April 1st.
That's terrific. Well, that's wonderful basic information, John. That is really terrific. You know, you mentioned a few minutes ago the whole issue of, you know, understanding your needs. And while it might seem obvious to people and they'd say, well, yes, of course I know my needs, it might not be as clear to other people. I mean, what would you suggest before somebody gets in touch with one of these navigators or goes online? What might be a way of kind of getting in touch with your needs, going to see your doctor? How would you suggest people do that?
I would definitely say if you have a doctor and you see them regularly, it would be a good idea to go and talk with them. Also, it may just be as simple as writing down what you would like to get out of your health insurance. So, you know, if you're relatively young and healthy, you may just be in a situation where you're just, you know, I get in a car accident or I have a skiing accident and I just want to have coverage. You may be suffering from a chronic condition, such as, you know, COPD or hypertension or diabetes, and you want coverage for that. You know, you may be a relatively healthy person in their 40s or 50s, and you just want, you know, basic coverage. So I would say, in addition to talking with your medical professionals, it's writing down sort of what conditions, if any, you suffer from, and then also what you think you need out of a health insurance policy, because you will literally have the choice of, you know, somewhere, I would guess, probably a minimum of 10 policies and, you know, could be as many as 40 or 50. So understanding what your needs are, I think the other thing is, what are you willing to pay? So we did mention that there will be some subsidies available to people depending on their income, but you'll still have to pay something towards your premium every month. What are you willing to pay towards your premium? And are you, one of the choices you will be asked to make is, well, are you willing to take a plan that has more cost sharing, so a higher deductible or higher co-payments as the doctor for a lower monthly premium? So I think those are all things that you should be thinking about before you go and either go online to the health insurance exchange or go talk with a navigator.
Terrific. Those are great tips, John, because I can only imagine that going online is, you know, you're provided with so much useful information, but it's not useful if it doesn't pertain to you. So those are great ways to think about it, get yourself focused before you get online. That's terrific. So how will this Affordable Care Act really impact family caregivers? I mean, so now let's say that we're online. It's now January of 2014. And we've identified our needs. We're getting into the system. And how is this going to impact me if I'm just your normal family caregiver, taking care of her husband, let's say?
I think overall it's probably going to be a plus. And I think for many of the reasons that I outlined around the current individual insurance system. So one of the very interesting facts about people who care, family caregivers, is that 47% of family caregivers either work part-time or don't work at all. And as we know, if you're under 65, we have an insurance market that basically is most people get their insurance through their employers. So if you are working part-time or not at all, you're not going to be eligible for insurance coverage through your employers. So unless you have a spouse that has coverage, you could well be uninsured. And I haven't seen the statistics, but it wouldn't shock me if there's a very sizable percentage of family caregivers who are uninsured. So obviously this is a way to get insurance. I think one of the other things that the law does is there are subsidies, and the subsidies help you pay for premiums. They're on a sliding scale. They go from 100% of the poverty level to 400% of the poverty level. To give you an idea, they're really riches between 100% and 250% of the poverty level. To give you an idea of what 250% of the poverty level is, it's about $26,000 per year for an individual. So we're talking about people who, don't make a lot of money and to whom a couple hundred dollars a month premium may well be out of reach. So these subsidies are designed to make it more affordable. I will say this, and I do think this could be one of the weaknesses in the law, is the subsidy stays out very quickly above 250% of the poverty level. So if you're at 400% of the poverty level, which is around $40,000, you'll get a small subsidy to help pay for your premium. It's not very big. But between the fact that you'll be able to get coverage, which you may not have been able to get before, and the fact there'll be assistance to pay for it, I think that for a lot of caregivers, this is going to be a big plus.
Yes, yes. Okay. Well, you mentioned, was it 47% of family caregivers have jobs outside the home? But some family caregivers quit their jobs to care for loved ones. Lots of people, as the conditions get more chronic, they have to leave their jobs, giving up benefits like health insurance. Will family caregivers be able to get that coverage back through this new law?
Yes, they will, and I think that's one of the reasons that it will benefit many of them. So they will now be able to receive health insurance coverage and affordable health insurance coverage. I mean, as I mentioned, there are a lot of, the current individual insurance market in most states, and I will say it's a state-by-state issue, but in most states, it's really designed to cover only the extremely healthy. And so they make it very unaffordable for people who are either older or not healthy. And so the other thing we haven't talked about with family caregivers, but the stress of being a family caregiver actually tends to cause health ailments within family caregivers. Unfortunately, there have been a number of studies that people who are caring for a sick or aging loved one generally have more health problems than people who are not. You've been through it, Marjorie. I've been through it. I'm not surprised. I mean, stress does result in other health issues. So I think that there will be a lot of – sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to add on to what you were mentioning, that I think the statistics are that 61% of us who are caregivers often have some medical issue and often severe, either during or after the caregiving role is completed. So you're absolutely right.
So this law will allow those people to get coverage. And if they are, the other thing we talked about, when people quit their jobs, unless they have a lot of savings, many times are living on very tight budgets. So again, the assistance to pay for insurance within the law will also be helpful to many people.
Yeah. You mentioned, John, state by state is different. Where would people find that out about their state? Is there a website at this point where you can go and find out where your state stands with respect to insurance coverage?
You know, I'm not aware of a centralized website that has that, unfortunately, which is really too bad. You know, and I'm trying to think, you know, the one place that may is the Kaiser Family Foundation, and that is kff.org. They have a whole section on their website that is devoted to health insurance reform. And I believe they may have a map showing what the current rules are today. Obviously, come January, all the rules will pretty much be uniform. But if you're in a situation where between now and January, and that is 10 months, you need to get health insurance, it would be helpful to know what your state rules are. And so I would start at kff.org, and I can find some other resources, and we can post them in the Care Diaries so people can find them.
Great. That sounds terrific. For our listeners, by the way, this is not the only show that's going to be devoted to this important subject on caregivers and healthcare reform. John and I plan on doing part two next month on Tuesday, March 19th. So this is going to be a continuing conversation over the next 10 months. And when John and I will speak now and again, maybe every other month or every third month, and bringing you all up to date on the new thing. So we'll continue to give you those resources as we get them. Another question, and this has to do, John, with Medicare. What impact will the Affordable Care Act have on people that are on Medicare currently?
Well, there have already been some expansions of Medicare as a result of the Affordable Care Act. So there's a whole series of preventive care benefits that were not covered or had very limited coverage prior to the passage of the Affordable Care Act. So, for example, colonoscopies, annual physicals, mammographies, a whole bunch of cancer screenings that are recommended for people over 65 are now covered under Medicare when they weren't covered under regular Medicare prior to the passage of the Affordable Care Act. The other thing that the Affordable Care Act does is reduce what's known as the donut hole in Medicare Part B. So right now you get coverage up to, I think it's about $3,000 in your Medicare prescription drug benefit. Then you have this gap, and then you get to about $4,500, and then it covers again. And that's affectionately known as the donut hole.
Yes.
The law has been shrinking the donut hole each year, and by the year 2020, the donut hole will be eliminated completely. So every year it gets a little bit smaller with the idea that by the time you get to 2020, it will go away completely. So obviously, if you're suffering, you know, it's interesting. People say, well, $3,000 in medication sounds like a lot of money, but actually, if you're suffering from Parkinson's, or you're suffering from Alzheimer's, or you're suffering from many chronic conditions, you can spend $3,000 in medications very, very quickly.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Oh, that's terrific. Those are some key things for our folks on Medicare. So that's terrific, John. I promised our listeners that before we the end of our show today, that we would talk about some of the key questions. You know, I'm always a believer that knowing answers is certainly important, but often as proactive caregivers who are advocating for ourselves and others, that having the kinds of questions that can make such a difference in getting out issues around options and information. So, John, what key questions would you share with us today that you think are important that caregivers jot down, have them in their repertoire when they go see their healthcare professionals, when they get online to see what this new Affordable Care Act has for them.
Absolutely. Well, I think that some of the key questions are some of the stuff we discussed earlier, but I think, you know, what are your coverage needs? I think that's probably the most important question that you need to ask yourself before you look into this. And also sort of what, I mean, for lack of a better description, what is the cost benefit that you are willing to undergo in order to get insurance coverage, particularly if you're not covered today? One of the other things we haven't talked about.
The second question is what again, John? What is the cost and benefits that you're willing to undergo
to get insurance. So when I say that is, are you willing to pay a higher out-of-pocket at the doctor in order to get a lower premium? Or do you want to make sure that everything when you go to the doctor or the hospital is covered at a very high level and you're willing to pay a higher premium? And I think this is important because, you know, it's sort of like a balloon. Your insurance premium costs do depend somewhat on sort of the benefit levels. And so obviously if you're healthier, it may make sense for you to take something that has somewhat higher costs at the doctor or hospital because you're probably not going to be utilizing those services very much and then save the money on the premium. If you're sicker, you probably want something that's going to give you, you know, very low cost sharing when you go to the doctor or the hospital. I think one of the other things that we haven't talked about, and this would be more for working caregivers, but the threshold hours that are full-time changes under the law. So it's currently 37.5 hours per week is what's considered full-time. Under the law, it changes to 30 hours. So you may want to ask your employer whether or not, if you say you're working 30 hours, whether or not they are now planning on providing insurance coverage to you. So that's another question that you should be prepared to ask. There's so many, Marjorie. I want to kind of keep it relatively simple.
Exactly.
Really, there's so many, but I think those are some really key questions around coverage that you should be asking.
Those are just terrific, John. And beginning with those three questions, as I mentioned to our listeners in subsequent shows, we'll be digging deeper on all that we talked about today and adding more. I mean, there's Medicaid. There are certainly more issues around Medicare, the kinds of red flags that caregivers should look for. Is there looking at how to achieve the best for themselves and their families? And we'll be looking at all those things on subsequent shows. So please, we would love to have you tune in again on Tuesday, March 19 for part two of this discussion. And as always, tune in every Tuesday for the Empowering Caregiver, Empowering Family Caregivers, sponsored by your ecarediary.com. And John, I want to thank you so much for this introductory discussion today and one that we will continue to have. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Marjorie, and I really look forward to discussing this in more depth because, as I said, there is a lot here, and we want to share as much as we know with our listeners.
Absolutely. Thanks again to all of you listeners out there. We appreciate your response. Please let us know how this has helped you. Let us know how we can help you further. And we look forward to talking with you again all in the future. This is Marjorie Pabst wishing you all a wonderful day. Goodbye.